Today on Real Radio.
Samuel's heart was right. His motive was true, so that the people even had to confess, "You have not been a burden to us. You have not been anything of a cheat or an oppressor to us." Isn't that a great witness? Isn't that wonderful?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We all want to know what God's will is, right? I mean, how many times have we had that discussion with ourselves and other people? And recently here on Real Radio, we discussed just that while examining an earlier chapter, The Will of God in Your Life. Well, now we're going to dig a little deeper and address our response to God's will. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 12 and a lesson called, quite simply, Responding to God's Will. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It's a rough road. Kids in school, children, students, teachers are to be committed to instilling character into these kids. Parents, there's times when your kids are in need, and we've got the resources to fix that need, don't we? But we don't do it. We back off and say, "Now, no, you can go do this. Go do this on your own." You know, one of the famous things is this. You know, if your kid's involved in sports or whatever, they bring home, and it's that time of the year, you know, they bring home all the chocolate bars that they've got to sell. Now, you can either A, have your kid go door to door and sell the chocolate bars, or you can whip out $200 and buy all the chocolate bars from them. And a lot of parents do that because they don't want to deal with the time issue of taking their kid around the block or whatever it is. Some parents just do that because, "Oh, I don't want my kid to be going door to door. That's kind of like low life." Wait a minute. Forget that thinking. You could be instilling in them tremendous character by them having to go door to door. Think about it. So, well, how can that help? Number one, they'll be thinking differently the next time somebody knocks on your door who's going door to door selling umbrellas or chocolates or whatever they sell. But sometimes Junior or Little Miss needs to understand that not everything's handed to them, that they need to actually put an effort out. And when kids hear this, they go, "Oh man, that's satanic counsel. That is, that is not from God. I don't receive that." But yet a parent knows there comes a point in time when a kid's got to make their own bed. A kid's got to get out there and get that job. We may have enough money to pay for their insurance or to pay for their gasoline, but we've got to say, "I'm not going to pay for your gas. You got to make this work." What are we doing to them when we do that? We're preparing them for the real world. They're going to be better people if we do it. Man, I remember my dad telling me, and I thought, he has absolutely flipped his lid. He's out of his mind. And now that I'm a parent, I say that to my kids, and I can hear my dad's voice in my ears. I sound like my dad. And God wants to do that same thing with us. He wants to instill character into us. And Samuel was a man of character. And he's saying, "Hey, okay, listen, I'm an old man. I have led you guys all the way through. By the way, for the record, have I defrauded anybody? Have I robbed you at all?" Very powerful. He says to them, "Indeed, I've heeded your voice when you request and asked of me to have a king." That's back in 1 Samuel chapter 8. The people, listen, were not to have a king that way. In Deuteronomy, through Moses, God spoke and said that when Israel has a king, this is how it's to be. The people of Israel right now with Samuel, when they asked for a king, it was not that way. Remember, they said, "We want a king like all the other nations. We want a king who will go out and fight all of our battles for us." God says, "No. For you to have character, you fight your battles with me, dependent upon me. You don't send a king to fight your battles." There's no character in that. So when they requested, "Oh, give us a king that he may fight all of our battles so we can be like all the other nations of the world," that was the wrong request. It wasn't wrong that they had a king. It's how and why they wanted a king. And Samuel is saying witness and character is everything on this. And he's also saying that he's been the messenger. That's what he's saying. He's represented God to them. Consider Samuel's character. Ministry today, people, ministry needs the character of Samuel. How many people have been burned by churches, burned by deacons, burned by elders, burned by pastors, where there's no character? Does that mean that character is always going to be pleasant? No, sometimes character, when it's true, can also be in the area of discipline. Nobody wants that. But character is the person, like Samuel, who's leading. Can you point to Bible verses that substantiate that person's witness? Samuel is saying, look at my life, look at the will and the word of God, and see that there's character. And he's laying before them a great witness that we need to mimic. Paul was of this heart. Paul the Apostle in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just and pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything that's praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What a witness, huh? Paul the Apostle said, hey, and listen, I think this is God's will for all of our lives. Paul says, hey, everybody, Calvary Chapel, what you've heard come out of my mouth, what you've seen me do as you observe my life, the things that I've done, how I live, you do that. And if you do that, the God of all peace will be with you. Tragically, there are so many ministries where the leadership can't say that. Many ministers live way beyond their people and their lifestyle. I learned a couple weeks ago of a pastor who said to his board, I don't want a raise anymore. I don't want the salary that you've given me anymore. I don't need it. And they were like, oh, wow, that's fantastic. What are you going to do? Well, how about I just get 10% of what the church gets? Well, because that was a yes board, not a no board, or I'll think about it and pray about it board, but it was a bunch of yes men, they said yes to that. And that pastor went from making a certain amount to making almost $1.5 million a year now. $1.5 million a year. Look, if, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, why would you want, why would you need, why would you live with that kind of money when people in your church, do they make $1.5 million a year? I don't get it. Samuel is saying, have I robbed your donkeys? Have I taken any oxen from you? Did people in the fellowship where Samuel was at, did they have like one ox, but Samuel had 25 oxen? I said, Jack, are you promoting some form of communism? No, by no means. Was Abraham rich? Yes, he was the richest man on the earth. What about Solomon, richest man on the earth? Job, the richest man on the earth. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, though, ministers. Well, do ministers, are they supposed to be poor? No, the Bible makes it clear they're not supposed to be poor either. I think there's wisdom. Personally, I think that with most things in life, if you give somebody a rope, they'll either hang themselves with it or they'll pull themselves out of a hole with it. It depends on what they do with the rope. And what they do with the rope speaks volumes of their character. Very important. Samuel is a man of God. Paul the Apostle is a man of God. He's saying, look at my life. I bet you Paul did not live behind some ivory palace gated community to where nobody could get to. And I'm going to get letters from somebody because you're going to send this tape to somebody you know who's in the ministry who lives behind some guarded gate, and they're going to write me a letter. And they're going to cite this because I've already heard this before. You don't know the security threat that I'm under. My response is, trust God. Like the rest of us have got to trust God. Trust God. Well, there's people out for my life. There's people. Hey, listen, Satan's out for our lives. I'll never forget how at Calvary Chapel, everybody knew where Chuck Smith lived. And one day he was heading to his car to go to the church, and a man jumps out of his van, actually slides the van door open, Chuck is getting in his car at his house, and a man pulls out a revolver, sticks it in his stomach, and begins to pump on that gun, and none of that rounds go off. The guy throws the gun down and runs away, and the cops come, and that pistol was completely loaded and was able to be fired, and yet it failed. Did that cause Chuck to go hide? No. I better get off of this, because Samuel is our witness, he's our example, he's the messenger of God, and he's got a message. Is that messenger filled with flaws? Yes. Is he not perfect? He's not perfect. No messenger of God is perfect. In fact, God loves using messengers that are not perfect. But is the message perfect? Yes. Is that message inerrant? Yes, though the vessel may be errant. It's a strange thing, ministry, strange. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. The fathers and the prophets were not perfect people, but the message was perfect, and the message was ultimately fulfilled in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's God who speaks. Very important. The character. God wants to speak. And what Samuel is teaching us is that there should be a character to the witness. He was a man of character. Beautiful. And if the messenger believes, by the way, the message, oh boy, if the messenger believes the message, then his character will take on the meaning of the message. People can preach and teach. Listen, you can go to seminary and learn how to do messages. You can do that. You can learn. You can go to school in public speaking, and you can go, listen, you can learn that stuff. But does the messenger believe the message? There's only one way to find that out. Does the pastor or does the evangelist or does the preacher really believe what he's teaching or preaching? The answer is only by observing his life. It's the only way. But if the messenger believes the message, like Samuel believed the message from God, he will live that life. The second thing we see here is doing God's will is in verses 4 and 5, and that is Samuel's heart was right. He had the right motives. He had the right heart. The people said to him, "You have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand." Then he said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have found nothing in my hand." And they answered and said, "He is," that is, the Lord is witness. What does this word mean? That Samuel's heart was right. His motive was true, so that the people even had to confess, "You have not been a burden to us. You have not been anything of a cheat or an oppressor to us." Isn't that a great witness? Isn't that wonderful? It's great. The ministry needs Samuel's today. Listen to their confession of his character. What a beautiful thing. And by the way, this can only be had in any minister's life. And I pray this for my life. I pray it for your life. I pray it for this church. You say, "Well, Jack, you know, what do you always say, you know, this church?" Quite frankly, I'm not responsible for any other group of people except this church. That's why I say this church. This church, I pray, would stay clear of the pitfalls of what could happen. And there's only one way that that's going to happen. That is, we stay clear, and that is we fear the Lord. If we fear the Lord, we're going to depart from evil. If we fear the Lord, we're going to do ministry right. If we fear the Lord, frankly, here's another plug, people are going to sign up and pray for those that are going away. Well, why? Well, watch this. If you were going, you would want to make sure somebody's praying. Okay, listen. On Saturday, a bunch of people are going to get on an airplane. They're going to get strapped to that seat and be catapulted to Stuttgart. Listen. If you were on that plane, you would be thinking as they rev up those engines, "Man, I hope somebody's praying." And so you should. It's the fear of the Lord. It's the dependence and the awe of God that causes people to be in ministry. You say, well, Jack, I'm not in ministry. Are you a Christian? Yeah, you're in ministry. You're in ministry. Every Christian is born again to serve God and to bring Him praise. The fear of the Lord is the key to a holy ministry. Will people be able to blame this church? Yes, people blame anything and everything. But, and I love how we've been taught at Calvary, let people accuse you. They're going to accuse you. It comes with the territory. They're going to accuse you of everything. Just make sure that there's no validity to their accusation. They can say all they want. God will see to it that they have no teeth to their bites. Don't give them any meat to put their teeth into. Isn't that great? Stand up and be a Christian. You're going to get attacked. But just make sure that the attack holds no water. How can that be? By fearing the Lord. You know what, you guys? If we fear Him as a church, and you know what I mean by fear Him? Not be afraid of Him. That is not what that word means. It's to be in awe of Him. God, you're awesome. You're awesome. If that is our heart, we have nothing to fear as a church of this world. Nothing. Having a right heart means we're going to have the right motives. And that means in secret and in public, we're going to be people acceptable unto the Lord. And what are we like in secret? Who are we in private? Who you are in secret, who you are in private, is directly connected to your fear of the Lord. Do you see and think that God is only caring about how we are publicly? But then, you know, we've got our Bible in one hand and we're praising the Lord. And there's no character in us when we take our Bibles home, set it on the table, or leave it in the car, and go home, draw the curtains, and put on a porno movie. You can't be two different people. You're just deceiving yourself. God won't go for that. There's no fear of the Lord in that. Or whatever it might be. The person who we are in secret is the person who we are. Think about it. Who are we in secret? Samuel was a man of God and a great witness for us. The second point we see tonight is in verses 6 to 18. And that is responding to God's will in your life means this, that we're to be knowing the truth. We're to know the truth. God wants us to know the truth. How so? Jot this down. God has been historically faithful. That's the truth. What's the truth? God is faithful. He's been historically faithful, and He's going to be faithful tonight, and He's going to be faithful forever. But look what Samuel does to them. That we're to be knowing the truth, and the truth is this, that God has been historically faithful. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now, therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which He did to you and your fathers when Jacob had gone into Egypt, and your fathers cried out to the Lord. Then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place." Verse 9, "And when they forgot the Lord their God, He sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them." What's he saying? Verse 9's the key. "And when they forgot the Lord their God." This is amazing. It's prone to the people of God to forget God. Say, how can that be true? You guys, we do it every day. We forget Him. It's a danger. And here's one of the greatest hang-ups that we can experience. Those of you who are parents, you want to bless your kids. In fact, any grandparents in here? I'm not a grandparent. I'd like to be a grandparent. I understand this about grandparents, that they get a real charge out of spoiling the kids, the grandkids. Grandparents tell me that, well, I thought being a parent was great. Being a grandparent is the best thing that God's ever made. I had somebody tell me that on Sunday. Being a grandparent's the best thing God's ever made. And then they go off and telling me how they spoil their grandkids rotten. And when the little junior starts to get an attitude because of his spoiledness, they just turn them right back and send them to mom and dad. Here, you deal with it. Now that I've created this kid, you deal with it. That sounds kind of fun. Why? How can that be fun? Because as you get older, it's truly a wonderful thing to give. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed, you know, that your Christmas list now as you get older is much shorter? And yet I find myself now wanting to spend more money on the gifts that I'm giving because I get a real charge. It's kind of like going to Disneyland. When you're young, Disneyland's a blast. Then when you get a little older, it's all right. And then when you're kind of middle-aged and you don't have kids yet or whatever, it's like, I'm not even going to go. And then all of a sudden you have a child. And the first thing is, let's get him to Disneyland. And the parent has got Mickey Mouse ears on. They've got a video camera stuck in their face, and they're walking into Disneyland backwards. You know what I'm talking about? They're walking in backwards because they got the camera right on little Junior. And they're like, oh man. And the biggest charge for a parent is not Disneyland anymore. It's not the cotton candy. It's watching little Junior's face in Disneyland. It's the biggest charge. And you'll pay anything to see that face. Get all fired up over that. Oh, Daddy, there's Mickey Mouse. And it's like, poor kid, he has no idea that mouse is fake as all get out, but he thinks it's real, and what a cool. You're all charged because they're charged. I think God wants to bless us so much, but you know what? Blessings often, when we acquire them, we begin to personalize them and then own the blessing, and we forget God. We forget him. Deuteronomy 32:18 says, "For you have forgotten the Lord who fathered you." Deuteronomy 32:18. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Ecclesiastes 7:13, "Consider the work of God." Now, did they literally forget God? Answer, no.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Responding to God's Will. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, our website is realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. That's where you can keep in touch with all things regarding this ongoing radio outreach and all that's connected to it, including our TV program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, which is the name of both our Monday evening TV program that you've likely heard us tell you about. Also, Real Life with Jack Hibbs is the name of our free app for your smartphone or tablet. Right there at your fingertips, you can access, well, certainly Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the television program, but also past editions of Real Radio. Maybe you missed a part of a series, you can catch up on that. You can get topical lessons from Scripture, verse-by-verse studies, and a whole lot more. We've also got Words to the Wise, Pastor Jack's weekly devotional, which you can get via email. You know, we keep getting more and more subscribers every day to Words to the Wise, and they just seem to really love and appreciate these devotionals. Here's what one Words to the Wise subscriber wrote recently. "Pastor Jack, thank you for that encouraging story about President Washington. We need that reminder that God is God and that troubles and hardships are promised, but to keep our eyes on Jesus. He will see us through. It's so rare to hear that kind of encouragement. Thank you so much." Well, we say thank you so much for that letter. Pastor Jack loves to get these words of encouragement. Subscribe to Words to the Wise by just visiting us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right there that says devotional, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.